Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
Hi there and welcome to this week's Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is a Fantasy Football Scout weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back on the game week we've just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm Sam from the FPL family. Let's Scout the Game Week. This week, I'm joined by one of my FPL besties, my Q&A partner in crime, and the Scout Network's FPL Black Boxes co-host, Az. How are you, my dear?
What a lovely introduction, Sam.
I'm very good. I'm not normally this nice to you, am I? Normally I'll be horrible to you.
Yeah, I gave you a nice introduction tonight on our Q&A, so I guess you're just returning the favour.
That's it. How was game week 4 for you?
Yeah, it was all right. I took a hit, it paid off, which is rare. Normally they go terribly, but yeah, this one went pretty well. Green Arrow, not a huge one, I think from about 500 to about 300k or something, but my team is actually looking pretty decent and I've still got the wild card. So yeah, all good.
Well, we'll talk about more about my game week later because my hit was the complete opposite for yours.
Ooh,
and
dear.
It was pretty much as bad as hits can be. But let's start as always with a look back on the game week we've just played. We had a whole week of build up to Ronaldo and it was the busiest set of 3 o'clock fixtures we've seen in such a long time. I actually loved it. Loved it on Saturday afternoon with so many games flicking through, but it was kind of all ears on Old Trafford because of course in the UK, the game wasn't televised. I'll be honest, his brace really didn't surprise me. It wasn't unexpected. I was kind of expecting him to do exactly what he did, I guess. But then there were other members of the community who were kind of going, well, it was a bit jammy. It was a bit lucky. It was a fortunate tap-in. It was a goalie error. Goalie probably should have done better. Where did you stand on the Ronaldo brace?
Bit of both. I mean, he was helped out massively by the goalkeeper being absolutely useless. I mean, it's the, third choice Newcastle goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one particularly, you know, a shot and a, you know, the keeper should have done better and then he taps it in. The second one, I mean, he's still on goal. He just kind of kicks it through his legs. Again, you've got to think the goalkeeper did better. But like when you've got Ronaldo who takes as many shots as he does, I mean, I think he's already the highest shots per 90 in the league, you know, and that theme's just going to continue. So he's just going to continue to get chances and create them and he's going to get lucky.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Is that, you know, when we had him in the Premier League before, he was a midfielder. He wasn't necessarily that poacher in the box that he has become. But with the positions he's going to take up, he's going to get goals like that all the time. He's going to be the one that's kind of in there waiting for a rebound off a keeper, a rebound off the post. He's going to get tap-ins because he's going to be in the right areas. So I don't know, for me that just makes him more of an asset, and I think, you know, we were all expecting that goal scoring to begin against a Newcastle team that, you know, as you've already mentioned, were lacking both of their other goalkeepers and obviously had lost Callum Wilson too. So it was no great shock to me to see Ronaldo do what he did. And would it be a surprise to me to see it continue again into game week 5? Absolutely
no.
Not.
I mean, like you say, it's all about positioning. It's all about taking shots. And his shots are accurate. He's not someone who, you know, he's not like a Jimenez or a Traore. He's someone who will put his shots on target. And he's going to have a lot of them. He's going to get into great positions. He's got creativity all around him. you know, you've got players that are going to give him space as well. You saw it for Fernandez's goal. I mean, Fernandez could have passed it to the left to Ronaldo, who was completely free in space. He chose to shoot. If he'd passed that, that probably would have been another one for him. So I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to just continue to get goals. It's just, what do we do in game week 7 where we've got him? Do we make the switch over to Lukaku, who's got better fixtures? I think that's going to be the key decision.
Yeah, well, that's something we can come on to later when we talk a little bit about Lukaku, but that's kind of the perfect segue into talking about the other United assets. Because, of course, for the last week, I feel like all we've done is talk about Ronaldo and maybe a little bit about Bruno in terms of, you know, do you take him out to free up the money to buy Ronaldo? But, of course, across that Manchester United team, we've got some other really phenomenal FPL assets that have been regularly returning over the course of the season in Greenwood and Pogba. We've obviously got Bruno, who continues to come into the conversation after an absolute worldie of a goal in game week 4. And then Luke Shaw, who's finally started to get some attacking returns. And with Ronaldo there, kind of makes him a better FPL asset. Now, I'm currently wildcarding. Luke Shaw's been in my team since game week 1. And he was a player that I was kind of like, maybe I could start to think about losing him because the United fixture swing. And, you know, I would really like a Chelsea defender. But watching Ronaldo and the positions that he was in on Saturday afternoon makes me want to keep Luke Shaw, because whilst I'm not convinced that there's a lot of clean sheets there for him, the attacking potential could be huge. So in your opinion, you know, obviously there's Ronaldo and let's leave him aside for now, but with the rest of the United assets, how should we be investing?
Yeah, I mean, Shaw's interesting one because everyone thought he'd be sort of bombing down the left, putting in crosses that Ronaldo would convert his head. And instead, Shaw gets an assist through a really nice through ball for him to run onto. So again, I think we saw, everyone was so focused on Ronaldo's heading ability, I think, that we kind of just forgot that he'd score those kind of goals as well. And Shaw is going to play so advanced and he's going to create chances for him and everyone else. I mean, Greenwood is there as well. I mean, I bought in Greenwood this week. He's now, you know, delivered returns in every match he's played. I think his place in the team's secure, definitely until Rashford's back. But Shaw, I haven't got Shaw. And I wasn't too worried about him at the start of the season. I thought it's a bit of a bandwagon that I can kind of swerve, and it's been okay for me. Like I've had Soufal, who's kind of matched him. But going forwards, I now think there's a big gulf, because I think Shaw is going to really start to pick up the attacking returns. I'm still not sure about United defensively when Fred is the go-to central midfielder. I know they've strengthened with Varane coming in, but I'm just not sure that the clean sheets are going to be regular and the fixtures do toughen up. I wouldn't be buying Shaw, I don't think, now, but I wouldn't be selling him.
It's difficult to sell him, I think, because as you say, we've started to see in game week 4 that attacking potential that we've always known that Luke Shaw has, and we saw him bucket loads at points last season. And when I look at that Manchester United team, they've strengthened in all the areas that they needed to strengthen, and actually in some areas that they didn't really need to strengthen in terms of bringing in Ronaldo. So just think that he becomes a really nice option again. Now, I guess one of the things that the community is talking about is we're trying to budget for lots of premium assets, in particular Ronaldo or Lukaku and Salah, or maybe Ronaldo, Lukaku and Salah, or at least a combination of two of those three. There's going to come a pivot point, and as you say, it's likely to be in game week 7 where the Ronaldo fixtures look more difficult in terms of the potential for goals and the Lukaku's look a lot more easy. Is there space for going for one of those United players? Because on my wildcard, I'm really struggling to own Ronaldo and Lukaku and have Salah. And of course, we'll talk about Lukaku in a bit more detail in a minute.
And Trent.
And Trent, because he's going to have, you know, Lukaku's got, on paper, looks like a tough fixture on Sunday, but with the defensive woes that Spurs currently have, I don't think it is. Is there space for going Greenwood, going Pogba over Ronaldo and hoping to pick up some of those additional points that come your way if you're going to go Lukaku instead?
Yeah, I mean, I think in game week 7, you just need to have Lukaku in your team. I can't see any way in which, you know, like a decent FPL manager is going to be able to swerve him. And I think if you're going to do it, I think you're overthinking it a little bit. I mean, just to recap the fixtures they've got from game week 7, it's Southampton at home, Brentford away, Norwich at home, Newcastle away, Burnley at home. It's literally like kind of five relegation, you know, battling teams in a row for arguably the best squad in the league with a main striker who's going to play every game. So to me, it's a complete no-brainer. The question is, do you pair him with Ronaldo and kind of rip up the rest of your team? I think we've got some options. I mean, I'm seeing more people going four at the back, which I'm not entirely convinced on. But I think when you've got Luke Shaw there, for example, maybe Reece James at 5'6", you've got Laporte, you know, you've got some decent kind of five options that you can go for. And then you've got like Eiling, Veltman, Ben White, these guys. So you, you can do it. Then you've got Damari Gray, Decore, Sarr, Traore, mid-price midfielders that you can get. In terms of your question though, yeah, I mean, I'll probably just be sticking with Greenwood, I think, and losing Ronaldo for Lukaku. I don't really want to rip up my, my team to incorporate all three and have Trent. Trent's going nowhere.
No.
You know, I think the debate about whether we could lose Trent, I think, was answered emphatically again this week. He's just too good. Just for 7-5, he's too good to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you on the Trent thing. I just think that you're budgeting for, I mean, kind of the way I'm looking at my wild card at the moment is that by having a premium in every position, it's going to give me the most flexibility to move between them. I don't want to lose Trent because I just think that that's FPL suicide, to be honest. He's so consistent. And there was a moment a few weeks ago where I thought, can I save £1 million and go Van Dijk? Can I save £500,000 and go Robertson when he's back and fit and available? And then you watch Trent and you think, no, I just don't want to. It's too nice owning Trent. And it's just something I don't want to sacrifice. And then I feel the same about Salah. I know that there were some in the community that were going without Salah in favour of having both Ronaldo and Lukaku. And of course, in game week 4, that worked out fine because both of them brace and Salah just got one. But over the course of the season, Salah will return good points returns. It's inevitable.
I think he's playing his best football, Salah. Yeah. I think he's in the prime. I think, you know, obviously he got the 30 plus goals, you know, when he first joined. But I think in terms of his overall game and contributions, I think he's at absolute top of his level.
Mm.
So if I'm picking one player in a wildcard team, it's him still. Like, I still think he's the best asset in FPL.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I think the thing with Greenwood and Ronaldo is going to carry on scoring goals in this run, even if you lose him. It's just you're trying to find the one who's going to score the most out of him and Lukaku. I think when you're looking at Greenwood, you can't think, is he going to cover Ronaldo? Because he's not going to. You just got to think, can Greenwood deliver for a 7 million asset? Yeah, I think he can because he's delivered consistently so far. But yeah, I think if you're trying to cover Ronaldo with other United players, then it's not the best way to go. There might be better picks because of the fixtures.
I think this season you have to accept, even more so than in seasons gone by, that you just cannot own all of these premium assets. It's impossible. Exactly. Yeah. And we've still got KDB, who's likely to obviously come back into our thinking for game week 5. Kane and Son, they're not assets at the moment, but come game week 13, the Spurs fixtures are really nice. They're going to come back into the conversation. So we're suddenly going to have maybe 6 or 7 premium assets who you viably could own and could return your points week in, week out. And it's impossible to build a squad that has them all. So you have to accept that there are going to be moments where you're not going to get the points that these players return. I went into Saturday knowing I had neither Ronaldo or Lukaku in my team, knowing that that was probably going to be a very, very difficult afternoon. And when both of them braced, I absolutely was not surprised at all because I knew that that might happen. And so it hurt less because I was kind of like, I've accepted the fact that these two are probably going to go mental and I don't have them. But I do have other players who I trust to return and my other premiums did return. So from that perspective, it wasn't too bad. Now, of course, going into this weekend, I owned Son. The press conference, thank you, Nuno, on Friday was actually very helpful in ruling him out of the game. Although it is now looking hopeful that he might be available for Chelsea at the weekend, but let's see. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I can't get to Lukaku without a -8. And I was in a place where I really didn't want to take a -8. I just felt that I was making too many compromises to some players that I trusted to do well in game week 4, and I'd have to have taken them out. So I thought, I'll bring in Mason Mount. Like, I can't get to Lukaku, so I'll go Mount. He always plays. He's likely to get assists for Lukaku. It's against a Martinez-less Villa. It feels like a sensible transfer to make. So that's what I did. I bought in Mason Mount, took out Son. And then, of course, Tuchel decided to play Pep for the afternoon and benched Mount. Now, the only positive was he didn't come on, which means I'm going to get Livramento's points off the bench.
Hey, Tito.
So that's bonus. But it's difficult now, isn't it? Because we also saw a number of Chelsea players getting rotated that afternoon, Jorginho and Christensen, and he spoke about the international minutes that he had. But again, it just throws that shadow of a doubt over picking anybody that's not Lukaku in that team. It feels like there's much more rotation around every other position again. And of course, we didn't have Reece James at the weekend because he was suspended. What did you make of the Chelsea performance? And are you now in the camp where you think maybe we should bring forward our investment in them?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of squad, they've got the strongest squad, I think, now in the league. I didn't really think anyone would be able to touch Man City. Mm. And now you look at the players Chelsea have got on the bench and the players they can bring in. And I just think we talked about it in our interviews at the start of the season. You talk about strengthening the side. Bringing in Lukaku really did address, you know, the key kind of weakness they had. And then bringing in Saul as well. And then I just think that's lifted players like Kovacic as well. I mean, I've never seen him
play
like that. The pass he did for Lukaku and the goal he scored. Sometimes you need that player to come in just to spur you on and say, okay, your position's not completely secure. You need to perform. And he absolutely did. So to me, it's great for them. And I don't particularly like Chelsea, so it's not particularly great for me watching them. But I think FPL-wise, it makes things really difficult. Because who do you go for in that team? I mean, someone like Reece James is tough because they've got players how many games does he get? Does he get 2 in 3? 2 in 4? It's really hard to predict what's going to happen, especially after the red card as well. Does he come straight back in? Does he not? You look at all the players like Kai Havertz, like Mount. You know, they've got Pulisic that can come in. Ziyech played well, had a great preseason. Chilwell is now back in contention. So Alonso, that a lot of people have gone for, is tough. So I think the kind of the key person to go for is probably Rudiger in central defence.
It's the most safe, right?
It's the most safe. It's not the most exciting, but it's safe. Or if you're feeling a bit braver, then I think you go for James, but just accept he's probably going to miss out. But you've got Livramento on the bench. It doesn't matter, does it? I mean, he's absolutely fantastic.
Exactly. It's really hard, I think, with Chelsea because... I was fully anticipating playing my wild card ahead of game week 7. That was my original plan. But actually, I watched Chelsea against Villa, having watched what happened to Spurs, less about that the better, earlier on that day, and thought, no Eric Dier likely because of the injury that he picked up against Palace. Tanganga suspended. Ramiro's still isolating until the day before the Chelsea fixture. I mean, he's not fully isolating because he's in Europe. So he is doing training, but of course not with the squad. So he's not back until the day before the Chelsea game. Sanchez hasn't been available. That Spurs defence has suddenly gone from being ridiculously good in the opening 3 game weeks to being at bare bones within 90 minutes. It was 90 minutes of absolute disasters for Spurs defensively. And I look at that fixture against Chelsea next weekend. They're normally fairly tight fixtures. There's not normally like a massive haul of goals. But this season, with the way that Spurs have defensive woes and a lack of get out, if Bergwijn and Son don't make it through their fitness to the weekend... And that Chelsea team could go absolutely mental against Spurs. I just thought I need to have invested in this Chelsea team now because I agree with what you said before. I do think they have the best squad in the league. And I do think that they are going to be in with a very, very good chance of winning the Premier League full stop this season. And so investing in them feels like the right option. And Lukaku is that player for me. Whereas I look at Manchester United and I think the fixtures are going to turn. I'm probably going to miss out on some Ronaldo hauls between now and that. And even when the fixtures turn... I'll probably still miss out on some Ronaldo points, but maybe I can get Greenwood instead and get into the Manchester United team that way. It's never going to get me the Ronaldo points, but it get me some points that are valuable at a £7 to £8 million-ish player. But at Chelsea, I struggle with that because now even we've seen Mount getting benched. It's really tough.
And also, even if Mount is in the side, is he still going to be the best player to own?
I don't know.
I just don't think you can't. I don't like the word coverage anyway, but you can't cover Lukaku with Mount.
No, you can't.
It's just impossible. I mean, I don't think you can cover Ronaldo with Greenwood, but I think the fixtures at least mean there should be less of a gap between them. But if you went with Mount from game week 7 onwards over Lukaku, I think you'd just get absolutely destroyed.
It's going to hurt
a lot. I mean, in terms of the Chelsea performance, though, I mean, you'd think a 3-0 comfortable win. They weren't that great. They did well. I mean, Villa were very unlucky not to score. It was only because Mendy was in the absolute form of his life that they kept another clean sheet in that game. Lukaku had the least touches of all players on the pitch, but scored 2 absolutely fantastic goals.
Yeah.
But the worrying thing is not that they weren't that... I mean, they were pretty comfortable. You never thought they were going to lose. But the worrying thing is that's not them playing at their best, right? If they turn up against Spurs, I think you're right. I think they could absolutely... humiliate him. So it's not a good time to be playing Chelsea.
It really, really isn't. And I think that's a really nice segue actually into Aston Villa, because arguably this was their best performance of the season. that I've seen from them in a fixture where we were all kind of like, it's time to get off Villa. The fixtures have changed. They were arguably at the best that they were. Obviously, Bailey came back for some minutes in that game. They're going to have Buendia and Martinez back for game week 5. But are they still a no-go, even after that performance against Chelsea? I know they lost, but they were significant improvements there.
Well, I think they're just still a bit of a work in progress, aren't they? And taking Buendia out maybe got them to revert back to more of a style they were used to playing last season. You know, they're still learning how to play with him because he's now kind of the chief creative hub for the side, and they need to kind of start getting the most out of him, I think, to go up to the next gear. So, I mean, they had the lowest XG, I think, or one of the lowest XGs of all teams going into the Chelsea game. No one gave them a chance in this match, especially with Martinez being out as well.
Yeah.
And it definitely spurred them on to put in something sort of quite good. The fixture's just so bad for them. And I still see a team in transition a bit. So other than Ings, I don't think there's any investment that can be made, really. And I think even with Ings, I think there's so many good strikers that you want. I mean, I sold Ings and I'm not suddenly thinking, oh, I need to get him back. So I wouldn't be considering him for now. But I think, you know, hopefully when the fixtures turn, we start to see... They're a team who I want to watch and start seeing him to improve.
Yeah.
And then further down the line, I might go back to Ings.
Okay.
Because I love him. I think he's amazing.
Yeah. I must admit, I think with Watkins back as well, things could be massively on the up for Villa. But as you say, fixtures just are so difficult for them to return lots and lots of points. And at a time where we have got a lot of assets that are, they probably are a bit of a wait and see. Now, it would be absolutely amiss of me to have you on and not talk about Brighton. Bit of a smash and grab from your boys at the end of that game, to say the least. But again, they were defensively solid. Duffy, Sanchez, both popular picks. Question you never thought you're going to be asked. Shall we double up on the Brighton defence?
I mean, we don't do this, by the way. We don't do 93rd minute, you know, winners in any capacity. It was something that I don't think I've ever seen from Brighton. And it was a really good match. I mean, I've watched the extended highlights and, you know, both teams had chances. It was a really open, exciting, attacking game of football. And yeah, it was great. It was great to see, you know, two teams in the Premier League going at it like that. So it's funny to say that, you know, Brighton are so good defensively when they play such kind of open attacking football. But I mean, I've got the double up at the moment. I'm still not entirely convinced on Sanchez. And I keep saying it. I mean, he just seems to me he's either going to be a six-pointer or a 1 or 2-pointer. He's never going
to
hit.
Though, because I've got him at the moment. And on wildcard, I'm looking at it thinking, I can't really see another player that I...
No, not for 4-5. Exactly. Not for 4-5. I think that's the thing. I think, you know, I think we saw Backman maybe at the start of the season, he's going to rack up the saves and maybe get some balls. But Watford have been really poor. So we're kind of not really going there. So I think for 4-5, he's still the best option. We might start seeing some... I mean, Melier, for example. Leeds have been rubbish, but they've got a great run of fixtures going forward now. So you could... But money's so tight, isn't it? Because you want to get all these premiums in. So I'm not entirely sold on Sanchez, but yeah, I think he probably still is the best 4-5 option. I've got Veltman as well, and he got a yellow card and a bonus point, which is very, very rare to see happen in FPL. So he's doing all the right things as well, playing at wing back. I do like him.
I just like the Brighton defence, and I'm kind of looking at them thinking it's so nice to have some cheap options, and with no return for Dan Burn and Tyrick Lamptey yet, there seems to be a lot of stability there. And why would you make a change? Defensively, they've been really good. So feels to me like investing in Brighton isn't a bad option right now.
Issue is Webster. If Webster's out for a prolonged period, that's going to massively affect us. Because I don't really know who comes in to centre-back if he's out. I guess Veltman shifts over and Groves goes back to right wing-back. But it does leave us weaker if he's out for a while.
All right, well, let's go from one strong defensive unit to another one then, and Wolves, because obviously for the first part of the season, we were all talking about how good the underlying stats for Wolves defensively were, but they hadn't yet managed to keep a clean sheet. Well, game week 4 was the week where they did indeed keep that all-important clean sheet. Now, it was Marcel with the points this time around, but it could so easily have been Semedo. Yeah. He had so many opportunities. Sias is up there as well in terms of opportunities, goal attempts from them. So have you invested in the Wolves defence? If you haven't, are you going to? And who do we do? Do we do Marcel? Do we do Semedo? Do we do Sias? Do we just play it really, really safe and boring and cheap and go Cody?
Oh, well, you can't go Cody. Not with the underlying stats of some of these other defenders. I think for 4-5, I'd rather have Marcel. anyway. I think, you know, the same price. I think he's done enough. But I think if you can just find that little bit extra for Semedo or Saiz, then it's worth it. I think Musa wasn't really lucky, but he was a bit lucky, you know. I mean, all if you look purely at stats, Semedo should have had a double digit haul.
Oh, sure. Like,
his heat map's ridiculous. He's getting chances, he's creating, you know, good opportunities. He's just in that bracket with Traore. You just can't trust him to ever really deliver on his promise. And we saw it so much last season. And Jimenez is starting to enter into that bracket now as well, because he just isn't converting any of the stuff that you brought him in, didn't you?
It's so frustrating, this, because obviously I had issues. I had loads of issues last week going into game week 4, and I just didn't want to hit the wild card on Friday afternoon. I didn't have the headspace for it. I was like, I'm just going to panic and I'm going to get it wrong. I'd rather wait a week and play it in game week 5. And so I'd gone into game week 4 thinking, if this all goes wrong, then fine. And so I had some choices to make. It was Mount, Greenwood or Jota for Sun. And actually, in some ways, I'm glad I went Mount, because it meant Livermore off the bench.
Yeah, so made the right decision.
Made the right decision, strangely. And then the choice up top was, I've got to get rid of Deeney. So who do I go with? And I had a straight choice between Jimenez and Dominic Calvert-Lewin. The flag on Calvert-Lewin scared me. So I thought, I was just going to go Jimenez. The underlying stats have been good for Jimenez. The Wolves' attacking line looks good, but they haven't really yet fully committed on it. And I watched that and thought exactly the same again. Jimenez still had a good game. He still had some good chances, but they just don't quite ever get there. And I knew when I bought in Jimenez that he was kind of a one goal a game player. That's what we've seen in the past. We haven't ever really seen him haul massively, but the consistency was always there in terms of returns for him. We haven't had that yet. So now I'm in a bit of a quandary with him, because I bought him in last week for a reason, because the fixtures are still really nice for weeks, but how far do we trust them?
Needs a goal. He just needs to get a goal, because it's, you know, coming back from this massive injury, the more chance he snatches at, the more times he misses the target, the more things that go wrong for him, the more he's going to get into his own head.
Yeah.
And, you know, the less effective he's going to be. I mean, he's got a bit of competition there now with Hwang coming in.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trincao's, you know, they've got options. You know, they've got Fabio Silva as well and other players. So I think his overall performance is still really high. And I don't think he's at risk of, you know, not being in the starting 11. But I wonder if there could be some early subs coming from soon. He just needs to get a goal. He needs to get, as soon as he gets that first goal, the floodgates, the Jimenez one goal a game, Jimenez will start to see again. But I think I'm going to hold off on investing on him until he gets that first goal.
It's difficult though, as part of the wild card, because I'm kind of like, I've got him and now I'm really torn, because you wouldn't normally take out a player that's got such a nice run of fixtures, particularly as I'm kind of also in a quandary about Antonio and what to do about him. We'll come to him in a second. But it's difficult to de-invest, I think, in Jimenez when you keep looking at the underlying stats that they're creating and thinking there should be goals coming. There should be goals coming, particularly in the fixtures that Wolves have got coming up. So yeah, I'm tempted to just hold him for now. Antonio, what did you make of that? 2 yellow cards, get sent off, misses game week 5, having had 3 back-to-back returns in game weeks 1, 2 and 3. What do we now do about him? Do we move him on, given it's the start of the Europa League and that's the sort of time the fixtures were going to swing anyway, and we were all talking about maybe that's the moment? Or do we just say we have to keep it?
I think the 2 examples you've given are like just peak FPL, aren't they? Like you spend all week deliberating Jota, Mount and Greenwood, and you go for Mount, he doesn't deliver, but then you end up getting 6 points off the bench and it's the right decision. I mean, that's you know, that's just kind of why we love the game. And then Antonio, highest scoring player in the game, one of the highest owned players, everyone's got him. And then you get something like this. And in a way, it makes the game more interesting, because I think now we're going to start seeing a bit of a diversion. I mean, if he'd scored again, he's going to get more owners and then you don't earn anything from it. But I think we are going to see people wildcarding and losing him. We're going to see people moving him on, you know, for players like Lukaku and Ronaldo and stuff. And I expect his ownership to take quite a significant hit when the next game it rolls around. I'm keeping him. I mean, you know, United at home, I'm not expecting huge things from him anyway. He gets a nice little rest now as well. And then he's got Leeds and Brentford in 6 and 7. So I'm not too concerned about him. I mean, it means I've got to play Billy Gilmore this week, which is a bit a bit uninspiring.
This is his week.
Well, there are some rumours he's going to be pushed a bit further up the pitch, because they signed a new DM. He only missed out because he played a lot for Scotland. So he'll be back in the side. But yeah, I don't think you sell Antonio, particularly if you've got him at the start and he's gone.
That's
up point
it for me. He's gone up 0.4. I'm heavily invested. There's 2 fixtures after Man United I like. So I'm going to hold him through my wild card. I'm just going to bench him through game week 5 and have him back in for those two games that follow in 6 and 7. And I think it's after those two games in 6 and 7 that I might then think about moving him on if he hasn't performed, if the Europa League is taking its toll at that stage. But apart from this one, and he just got frustrated, let's be honest. He was just having a frustrated game against Southampton at the weekend and it got the better of him.
Well, so, game week 8, the fixtures turned massively. Everton away, Spurs at home, Villa away, Liverpool, Wolves, City. I mean, that's a bad run.
Yeah.
So I think, and we're going to start seeing Europa League, and hopefully, you know, we're going to have like Bamford and Calvert-Lewin, and maybe Jimenez will get a couple of goals. I think we're going to have other options emerging. So I think that might be the time which you sell him. But I definitely think for 6 and 7, going into those games at Antonio, you're going to be worried.
Okay, let's turn our attention then to game week 5. Another week of price changes in store. In fact, we've had some already. Lukaku has gone up already finally. By 0.1, finally, after all that waiting. Managers are going to be looking to bring in these premiums. They're going to be looking for routes to Lukaku and Ronaldo if they didn't do it already. They're going to be looking at making changes in the way that their teams are structured in order to do that. And that probably means either multiple changes and points hits, or like I've done, hitting the wildcard button on the back of game week 4. So if you were wildcarding this week, which of the premiums, I think we've already got Trent locked in there, but which of them would be non-negotiable for you?
Salah and Trent for sure. Like, absolutely no doubt. And then I think you just have to experiment with what you do with either Ronaldo and Lukaku, or you just go for one. I think if you're just picking one and you're wildcarding this week, I think you go for Ronaldo and you move down to Lukaku. I still think that's the way to go, just because of that City game for Chelsea. But it's close. I mean, if you wanted to save the transfer and you go for Lukaku over Ronaldo, I don't think it's a terrible decision. It's just you've got to effectively pick one, and it's easier to go down than it is to go up.
You're 100% right. And I think if the fixtures changed, then I would follow you. But because the fixtures changed better for Chelsea, and because I'm looking at that, I, even as a Spurs fan, I'm looking at that Spurs game thinking I'll be astounded if Lukaku doesn't score in that. And even against Man City, I wouldn't be surprised if Lukaku gets something against Man City. So if he gets a couple of goals in game weeks 5 and 6, going into that nice run of fixtures that he has, he looks ideal. And that extra million, it covers so much in terms of the rest of the squad I can build. So I'm looking at going Lukaku over Ronaldo on the basis that I'm kind of accepting that the next couple of weeks might not be the right pick. But because I've upgraded elsewhere, the player I've bought in instead might actually give me better returns than having Ronaldo and a cheaper option might, if that makes sense. So that's why I'm doing it. And so for me, I agree with you totally. Non-negotiable, Salah and Trent, 100%. Both of them, just can't not have them. Ronaldo and Lukaku is much more of a conversation. And I think it's just a case of picking one. And actually, maybe this season it's about not being as loyal as we normally would. Maybe with those, it's about catching the game time when they're hitting their good runs of form. We've seen in the past that Ronaldo does better against the weaker sides in Serie A. So we've got a point where we can just say, maybe we go Ronaldo for these weeks and then we switch to Lukaku, but we're always therefore leaving money in the bank to cover ourselves moving backwards and forwards between the two.
Yeah.
And I think if that's going to be a strategy, that works. Or you just have to say, right, I'm going to accept that there's going to be moments across the course of the season where I'm going to miss a haul from Ronaldo because I own Lukaku, or I'm going to miss a haul from the Kane because I own Ronaldo or Lukaku. But that's okay, because if I stay loyal,
I think you need to decide now whether you're going to go with two or whether you're going to go with one. Because the switching thing, I think, works sort of from maybe game week 13 or something. But from game week 7, you're not going to switch Lukaku out. No. There's no way you're going to sell Lukaku for Ronaldo in the run they've got. So you need to decide if you're going to go with this top heavy team, or whether you're going to just make the switch from Ronaldo to Lukaku kind of quickly. And yeah, I mean, the way I see it is United have got West Ham and Villa, Chelsea have got Spurs and City. I think you're definitely right about Spurs' injury record, but purely on fixtures, it's Ronaldo that I'd rather have, I think. But I think one of the key things to consider, are you really not going to captain Salah in game weeks 5 and 6 when he's got Crystal Palace at home and Brentford away? So if you're not thinking of captaining Ronaldo, then I do think maybe Lukaku is the better option, because then you're saving the transfer and you can use the extra money, like you said. So yeah, I'd say Ronaldo over Lukaku if you're going to captain him in one of the next two. Otherwise, Lukaku. There you go, I've changed my mind. You've convinced me, Sam.
Yeah, because that's what I'm doing. I'm going to captain Salah for the next 2 weeks. So I'm going Lukaku because it means one less thing to think about come game seven.
Makes sense.
And I do think Lukaku against Spurs without any defenders, it's just going to be a disaster.
And when you're saying that as well, as a Spurs, as a biased Spurs fan, it's
I mean, I just
want to think about.
We've got no defenders. I mean, basically, you're going to have to play Harry Kane in defence. So let's see what happens.
Basically where it was, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. What about differentials then? Because obviously, you know, this premium drama is going to rumble on while people try and decide. But increasingly, it's maybe more important than ever that we get our differentials right. And we have those that we pick as our little punts, our cheaper options maybe, that go on good runs and that we should invest in before. Is there anyone that kind of stood out for you? Maybe Damari Gray after yesterday's performance is one of these that we should be
thinking about. Frustrating, isn't he? Because he's even a differential anymore. He's 12% owned. Everyone seems to be buying him. He's on a bit of a Lingard run. He's had three shots and scored three goals.
Yeah,
in three games.
Maybe it's the Benrahma of the early part of the season.
I know it seems unsustainable, but then you do see players with these low XGs, you know, that continue to do quite well. I think I still prefer Decore though, and I think with the role that he's got, he's getting so advanced up the pitch, and I just really like Decore. And you know, two assists and some bonus against Burnley. I think if I was going to pick one, I'd still go for him. So he'd be kind of one of the differentials. On the last Q&A, I talked about Tierney.
Oh yeah, you as well. Did
I mean he's
kept a clean sheet, didn't he?
He did, and he got a bonus point as well. He's 6% owned. They've got a good run, Arsenal, and I think we were hoping to see a bit more from them with White and Gabriel in the team, and largely they got the job done. And I just think they're going to be a better defensive side with those two at the heart of defence. And he's always someone who's going to get tackle returns. Trouble is injuries. Like you're basically guaranteed for him to get an injury at some point in the next sort of 5 or 6 weeks. But you just kind of have to take that on the chin. And then the other differential is the Wolves players. Like you say, I think Jimenez is a great option if you're willing to kind of stand by him. What until he gets that first goal? I mean, he's got to get it soon, right? It's got to happen.
Surely. And I know if I take him out, he's going to bang. Like, he's just inevitable. So I think I am going to stay loyal to Jimenez, you know. I think there's enough.
I think with Calvert-Lewin out, Bamford is a doubt I've seen today for hamstring, potential
fixtures
hamstring
for Ings.
Yep. Tony's dead to us now. It's
Antonio suspended. Like, you know, you're looking at that price bracket and thinking, Jimenez is the standout in that, and he's in the goals imminent table. So I think I'm going to be loyal. I can't see anyone better, actually, unless you go massively drop in price and basically pick somebody because they're going to enable you to do other things. And then obviously 4%. You expect lower stats.
4% owned with the fixtures with his got. I mean, the other ones to me are just ones we talked about. I mean, Saiss has got 1% ownership and Semedo's got 2.6.
Yeah.
And they will get points. Like their stats are too good for them not to get something over the run of fixtures they've got. So I think any of those three Wolves players, I'm definitely getting a Wolves player in this week.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely going to get the wrong one.
Which one are you getting? And I'll get the other one.
Well, I'm probably either going to get Semedo or Jimenez, but I'm a little bit put off that Jimenez hasn't scored yet. So it's between Saiss and Semedo. I think Saiss is more likely to get something just because I think he's better. I don't really rate Semedo, and I do like Saiss, but it is fun having the attacking wing back rather than the kind of centre back. So I don't know. We'll see how I'm feeling at the end of the week.
Well, let's lose that as a way into the last question, or penultimate question anyway, that I've got for you, which is cheap defenders. Most managers are looking to own at least three now in the 4.5 to 4 category because it's enabling the rest of your squad. So if I was to put you on the spot and say, pick three now, I think Livramento's in there, but who would the other two be?
Livramento, definitely. I think Brandon Williams as well at four. I think
those
two
as well.
Yeah, those two are the standout options. I mean, Brandon Williams is playing for, like, you know, they've conceded the most goals in the league, Norwich, but they have got a good run of fixtures. And what you want is a kind of, especially if you're wildcarding, Duffy is a bit of a doubt when we get all our players back for Brighton. Yeah. So I think you're guaranteed with Williams that he's going to start the majority of games. And then it's probably Ben White at 4-3. He's not the most exciting pick. And I think probably Marcel's a bit more exciting at 4-5. But I think maybe I'll go for Marcel.
I'll let you have four. Exciting. Go on. I'll let you have four. We'll have
there you
White
go. Ben
and
White.
Marcel,
thanks, Sam.
Yeah,
Ben
I'll
White. Ben White and Marcel. Ben White, if you're really boring and you're either going to get six or two.
If you want a bit more safety, security starts.
If you want a bit more safety, he's the one to get. But yeah, I think Marcel at 4-5 has now done enough to say that he's a viable option. I think people were a bit indifferent about him going into this week, but when you get two assists, I think he's something we need to consider. Great heat map as well. Like,
yeah,
he's the those wing backs for Wolves are so advanced.
Perfect. Right then, the final and most important question: who wears the captain's armband this weekend?
I mean, it should be Salah, right? I mean, he's got an amazing record against Palace.
Yeah, so did Kane, though.
So yeah, that's true. Yeah, Palace are good. That's the
thing.
They
were good in game week three. Game week four, they suddenly were like the Vieira effect is having an impact now. I mean, they played against a Spurs side missing Dier and down to 10 men, but, and Spurs were terrible, but they were really impressive.
They've got character. They've got personality. They've got a style that I haven't seen from them, and I wasn't really expecting to see from them at this early. Salah is the obvious pick just because of the form he's in.
Mm.
But Ronaldo, away at a West Ham without Antonio, you know, he's so good at, you know, getting the ball, running with it, bullying defenders. I can see United definitely scoring a couple in that match. So it's between those two. I'm not sure. Probably. I'm going to say Ronaldo.
Oh, well, I'm going to captain Salah because I won't even own Ronaldo, I don't think, going into game week five, which, as a wildcarder, is still somewhat terrifying. Right, Az, thank you so much for joining me this week. That is it for this week's Scout Game Week, and I'll be back next week to look back on Game Week 5 and ahead to Game Week 6.